And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, co-host, and with me today will be Mike O'Connor. In this episode, we will be previewing the upcoming home opener for Fulham against Brighton and Hove Albion. Before that, we will be discussing the latest in Fulham news and speculation. We'll also be playing an audio clip from the Fulham manager. But before we discuss the upcoming match and all of the Fulham news, I have to welcome my co-host to the show. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
Not too bad, Russ. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm doing really good. I'm so excited about the match tomorrow. I cannot wait for the home opener. I wish I was going to be at Craven Cottage. Unfortunately, we're here in the States. We won't be there, but doesn't mean that we're not excited for this upcoming match.
Oh, no, absolutely. I'm extremely excited for this. And, you know, you got a couple former Fulham players coming back to the Cottage to play against us. So it'll always be a little fun kind of rivalry in that respect.
Absolutely. Listen, I don't know if Bobby Zamora will be fit to play. Again, I've seen some speculation that he might not be playing, but who knows? Again, that could change. You know, I've seen that happen several times, so I'm not ruling out that Bobby Zamora is not going to show up. But he is coming back to the Cottage. And, of course, David Stockdale will be there as well, Mike.
Oh, yeah. David Stockdale, I fully expect to be starting in goal.
Okay, fantastic, fantastic. All right, let's start here. Let's start my section I call the Fulham News and Speculation. We have several things to get through, and then we'll be playing the Kit Simons interview, followed by our preview. But let's start here, and let's start with Fulham beating Wickham Tuesday night in the Capital One Cup 1-0, and they move on to the next round of the Capital One Cup, where they'll be facing Sheffield United, and it's actually been announced it'll be at Craven Cottage on August the 25th, that's a Tuesday, at 7:45 UK time, PM, I'm sorry about that. Mike, first of all, what are your thoughts about the result and also the upcoming match against Sheffield United?
First and foremost, I think that this match was everything that anybody who knows at least an ounce about when you start getting into the lower tiers of English football, it's exactly what we expected. We're playing the championship team versus the League Two team. League Two, Wickham, they've got nothing to worry about. They've got nothing to lose. No one really expects them to win. So all the pressure's on Fulham to go out, go to an away match and win. And we made five changes, obviously, to the side that drew at Cardiff. And this is our second away game on the trot. We're yet to play at home. And Wickham came out with intensity and aggression. And what some of the players lack in individual talent, skill, or finesse, they make up for it in tenacity and being aggressive and being in your face. And I think that's what really marks the English game as a whole as being what it is. And that's why so many players from other leagues, like the Dutch League or the Portuguese League, have trouble fitting in with that kind of aggression. And Wickham came at us strong and hard. They did everything they could, including that nasty tackle on Jack Rimmer that I'm sure we'll be talking about.
Yep.
But overall, I think Fulham were very comfortable. I think we controlled the game in a professional manner. And rather than trying to go for the jugular right off the go, we kind of played the game out a little bit. We tested out Wickham. We saw what they had to provide. And I think overall, we looked comfortable. It might have been only a 1-0 win, but I feel overall Fulham were comfortably the team that was the most professional. We had the most calm, fluid movement. And I think we fully deserved to win that match on the whole.
Listen, I completely agree with you. And a couple things I want to ask you about before we move on from this Wickham match. Let's talk about the goal. Again, this was a very nice goal taken by Alex Kaczyniklić, but it was set up by two new players. It was set up by Tom Kearney, and then it went to Ben Pringle. Ben Pringle made a fantastic pass to Kaka, who put it in the back of the net. Talk about the goal.
Well, I think what we're forgetting here is Matt Smith, who had just come on. And
that's
when
true.
He gets that ball, he comes at it, and he's the first to react to it, other than Wickham.
It's a good
player.
Point to bring up, Matt Smith. Go ahead.
Yeah, he chests the ball right into Tom Kearney, who can then take it, make the pass to Pringle, and then Pringle and Kaczyniklić make their run in. It's a great little ball in by Pringle, right between the legs of the defender, and Kaczyniklić basically had the job done for him there, and he slotted it just like we thought he should, and we are winning. But I mean, the most impressive part for me was Matt Smith. I mean, we haven't seen that kind of target play since Bobby Zamora. That's the kind of move that Zamora used to do when we were scoring goals quite frequently and doing mid-table Premier League stuff. It's not pretty, but you need that kind of target man sometimes. I think Matt Smith is playing that role very, very well. But I think the biggest takeaway is the awareness that our team is starting to build with these new players. And Pringle and Kearney are kind of those more innovative thinkers where we're starting to get to some really exciting midfield play. And I think I really hope that that is kind of a stepping stone for us to kind of move on from there.
No, very, very good take. And again, it's so good to see the new players integrating so quickly. And it's funny, Mike, because I'm going to ask you about another new player. Listening to the match again, I was listening to the match. I watched back the match and wanted to see if listening back matched what I, I'm sorry, watching back matched what I listened to. But one player I wanted to see, because again, there was a lot of talk on Twitter when he came on, was Shikari Mattila, the Finnish defensive midfielder came on, and I started seeing so much talked about on social media that he again he was playing well. He didn't look like he was out of place. And Mike, I watched the end of the match with him, and he certainly looked like he fit in. I don't know if you got a chance to check it out, but what are your thoughts about again a player that we didn't know that much about fitting in right away with Fulham?
Yeah, I actually did. I actually was very interested when I found out that he popped on and that the full 90 minutes came out. I watched to when he was substituted and watched him play, and he definitely didn't seem out of place. What he seems to me is, I mean, he seems like a good squad player, at least for now. We'll see where he grows. Maybe he becomes a starter, but who knows? But overall, I think that he has a good head on his shoulders. He's very calm on the ball. He knows where to place the passes. And I think overall, he's a tough tackler, and he's a player that we should keep our eye on because we got him for basically nothing coming from from a Finnish side, and that's the kind of scout, the kind of result that great scouting can do for you. Rather than blowing the bank on a British player or a German player or a French, you go to the Scandinavian countries, you go to Finland, and you see these guys play. And I've watched his highlights, and that guy's got a mean left foot. I mean,
He
he
does.
can pelt a ball or two into the back of the net. So I think he's a very good player to have when we need to give somebody a rest, or if you want to change up kind of what we're doing on the pitch to kind of put the other team, the opposition, on the back foot. So overall, I had nothing to complain about, and I'm pretty excited to see what he can do for us in the future as well.
You know what, Mike? I'm happy that they brought him in. Again, give him a shot. You know, it's for very little money, and you never know what you can get. I look at it as found money. You know, you don't know what you have once he gets here. Maybe he will flourish at Fulham. You
This might
just
sound,
don't know. Go ahead.
yeah, this might sound odd, but for some reason, and I could be completely off the mark, he kind of reminded me, maybe it's just the way that he moved, of Zoltán Gyökeres, ever so slightly. And so I kind of want to see more of him to see if that kind of intuition and that very first glimpses of what I saw are somewhat similar. So hopefully we do get to see him more because I did think I saw a little bit of Zoltán Gyökeres, at least the way that he moved on the ball. So hopefully he does have that kind of talent. Because Zoltán Gyökeres, I think, was one of our most underappreciated players. So if we have another one of them, that'd be fantastic.
Listen, I couldn't agree with you more. I don't know if he's going to turn out to be like that, but listen, in a very small sample for me, he looked like he had the instincts to play, and that is all I wanted to see. Did he fit in? And again, very, very small period of time, but you know, again, it was a good first glimpse. We'll just leave it there. Let's see if he is just a squad player or more. Let's just see how it works out. But again, I want to say a decent debut by Shikari Mattila. You know, and I just wanted to mention that. One other thing I want to mention about the match, and you probably know where I'm going on this, was the injury to Jack Rimmer. Again, I believe Kit did mention this in his presser today that I think he's still going to be evaluated by an outside professional to see how bad it is. So again, this is kind of a serious situation with Rimmer. What are your thoughts about this? Did you actually see the tackle, Mike?
I did, and it's a red card. I don't even know how he got away with the yellow. That is an immediate red card. Jack Grimmer was away. The guy slid out from behind him and took him out from behind him on his ankles. I mean, he had no chance at the ball, and that's an automatic red card. I could not believe the referee's decision after that. And it was good of Jack to try and get up and play on or walk it off, and you just know he couldn't. It looks like a really, as Kit said, nasty injury. And I wouldn't be surprised at him if we don't see him till after Christmas. I mean, it looked nasty. It looked really bad.
It did. It did. And, again, I wouldn't be shocked at that as well. And I wish him the best. And I hope he has a speedy recovery. And again, he's going to see another doctor from the outside. Well, a specialist, I should say it was a specialist that he's going to be seeing. And hopefully it's not as bad as we're fearing here. And he'll be okay because, again, Jack Rimmer is a player that I have high hopes for in the future. And hopefully he will be recovering soon. All right, Mike, let's move on. Let's now talk about some transfer speculation because we have a decent amount that recently have happened. And believe it or not, a good amount of it revolve around a position of need that I think Fulham have, and that's the center back position. I saw yesterday some speculation, again, linking Fulham to James Tarkowski from Brentford. Again, that has perked up again. We've seen that. We always hear about the Lewis Dunk speculation. But I also saw this the other day, and again, I don't know if this is going to work out for Fulham because it looks like QPR are in deep on this, and I believe have had a bid accepted for 27-year-old Bolton center back Tim Ream, American center back, and again, he's been their player of the season the last two seasons, and I believe he's in London meeting with QPR, and again, it matters what you read, but speculation is that Fulham are still interested. But we'll see how this all plays out. Let me just ask you, would you like to see Tim Ream, if for some reason Fulham could beat QPR to this player, would you like to see him come to Fulham?
I'm not a huge Tim Ream fan, especially at the age of 29. I know he's technically in his prime, but it's kind of towards the I never rated him on the national team, and I think he's a good squad player. I think he's a very decent player that we could pull in, but I'm not willing to bid over what he's worth or put any other potential signings in jeopardy for Tim Ream. That's kind of how I sit on it. And I know some other maybe American fans would think that he's worth it and we should get him, but I don't rate him, and I don't think that unless the price is absolutely right, I don't think we should go into a bidding war over him.
Very interesting take because I've heard from several Red Bulls fans that are like, oh, you have to bring him to Fulham, which I understand. I understand that Red Bulls fans obviously want him because he formerly played with the Red Bulls, New York Red Bulls, to come to Fulham. But again, I never rated him as this like hot prospect. Again, I'm sorry, Red Bulls fans. I just thought of him as a good player. And you know what? He is getting up there in age. I'd rather see them go all out and try to bring in a player like Lewis Dunk, someone like that that's much younger and has much more upside there, Mike. That's where I would like to see Fulham try to get a center back, or even James Tarkowski, same or around the same age, someone that actually has, I guess you could say, more upside, more time, more quality time left. That's where I'm going on this.
Yeah, and I mean, Brighton, like we're talking about Lewis Dunk, Brighton just signed the German defender, Yui Hunemir. I can't even pronounce his name, but they did just sign him, the new center back. And so that kind of leads me to think, are they already preparing to sell Lewis Dunk? Is there already something negotiated? They just wanted to see if they could get this guy first before they agreed. And speaking about this Brighton match coming up, and I'm sure we'll talk about it later, so I'll save it. Does this new German defender step right into the team, or do we see Lewis Dunk play against us first? It'll be a very interesting dynamic to see what it is that Houghton decides to do.
Absolutely. And what, again, what's interesting when I play the audio clip, and I know you've heard it, Sarah does ask Kit about potential players coming in, and Kit has this smile. Again, it's hard to read, I don't want to read too much into it, but obviously they're trying hard to bring in a player or two. And I got a feeling that they're really trying hard to bring in a center back. I don't know which one, but I think that they have a couple that they're interested in. And who knows? It could be Lewis Dunk. It could be Tarkowski. Could also be Tim Ream. And again, to the Red Bulls fans that have contacted me, I'm not putting down him. I think he's a good player. I just want Fulham to bring in a player that has, that has more upside, that has more time on his hands, that still is maturing as a player. Tim Ream, you know what you're gonna get. He's a good player. But I think with the other two players we're talking about, they're still coming into their prime, Mike. That's where I'm going on this. Nothing
no,
against
I
Tim Ream. I would rather see a player 22, 23 years old in their prime, bring him to Fulham, and then we can build around that for years to come. That's what I want. Nothing, again, Tim Ream is now getting into your upper 20s, and he might have, maybe three or four solid seasons left compared to, say, maybe seven or eight. So Again, I would rather go for the younger player, Mike.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Okay, very good. All right, let's move on. I'm going to throw out one more piece of speculation. This has been going on for a while, actually. I've seen it this morning. And again, this is a story in the Daily Mail. Again, it's speculation is that Fulham could bid £8 million plus add-ons for Crystal Palace striker Dwight Gayle. I don't know if you saw this morning. I saw it early this morning. But again, there's been so much talk about him coming on loan. Now there's talk about him potentially being bought again, not just by Fulham. Bristol City, I believe, had a bid accepted, but he hasn't decided where he's going to go yet. Let me ask you, Mike, would you want to see Fulham bring in Dwight Gayle permanently?
Yes, I would, because I do feel, I mean, if I had a choice between Dwight Gayle or, again, Lewis Dunk or Tarkowski, I'd pick one of the defenders. But if you're just asking on the whole, would I take Dwight Gayle? I would take him because he's quick and he's a fast, pacey forward. And that's kind of what we need right now, because Ross is quick, but he's not that quick. Matt Smith is a target man. He's not known for running. He's known for getting to the ball first, to be there with his head or his chest, what have you. So Dwight Gayle could definitely add a totally different dynamic and facet to our attacking force, as well as, you know, he can be an impact sub, or if he gets a starting position and then you change him out with someone like Matt Smith or Dembele, then you're also just changing the entire shape of our forward line. So I do think that another striker would do this very, very well, because you never know when injuries or suspension or illness or something comes in. And very quickly, you're down to almost nobody. So I think Dwight Gayle, every time he's played against us, he's always been kind of one of the guys that I'm scared of and I'm nervous of. And I would really not mind having him in a Fulham shirt at all.
Okay.
But for $8 million, I think that's a fair enough sum, but I wouldn't go too much higher than that.
Okay, very good. Very interesting take there, Mike. All right, listen, what we're going to do right now, I'm gonna save the Ross McCormack discussion for after we hear from Kit. I'm going to play the Kit interview that he did earlier today with Sarah Brooks, and then we'll discuss that. I'll also discuss Ross McCormack, which will lead all into our preview of the Brighton match. Again, here is Kit done earlier with Sarah Brooks.
Kit, firstly, let's talk about Ross McCormack and the contract extension that he signed. You must be delighted. I know that Ross is. We spoke to him earlier and he said that even though there was reported interest from other clubs, he only had one intention, and that was to stay at Fulham.
Yeah, no, really, really pleased, obviously, that's all tied up. So, you know, Ross is very happy here and we're obviously very happy with him, you know, so it's a good bit of business done there.
Two games in, Wickham obviously being a cup game on Tuesday evening. You feel you made some changes, but you fielded a strong squad for that game. Is this a statement of intent for the cup competition?
Well, you know, made sort of five changes. So, like I say, that's quite a big chunk of the team to change. But also, it's like you said there, it didn't weaken us at all. We've got a fairly tight-knit squad, I think it's going to be this season. But it's going to be a squad with really good quality where we can make changes without sort of weakening the team and, in fact, in some ways enhancing it or changing options. You know, we've got a few different options now that we can do, and it's quite encouraging. You know, I think Wickham was a tough game. They put us under a lot of pressure, a lot of balls, crosses into our box, which we knew we had to deal with. We expected that, and we dealt with it well. You know, and then I always felt as long as we could deal with that, then, you know, one bit of quality would win us the game. You know, hopefully, if we'd have scored the goal, first goal earlier, you think there might be more to follow. But as it was, we left it sort of reasonably late, but it came at a big, important time for us.
But in terms of keeping the momentum going, regardless of the changes, it shows that you have a strength in depth in the squad and that you can make those changes when needed. And it's important to keep winning games.
Well, it is. And, you know, I'm very mindful of that. You know, I want to win every game that we're in for. You know, it's an opportunity to give other people starts as well, so the cup can be very useful. But like I say, we're doing it now without weakening the team and the side, so we're in a decent place as a squad. We're still looking to try and strengthen it and improve it even more so, but you know, I'm comfortable and I'm confident and I feel that we've got a squad that's fit for purpose, and that is the purpose is to challenge in the Championship and then, you know, perform adequately in cup games as well.
Ross said he would be disappointed that it would be another disappointing season if we weren't at least in the playoffs at the end. I know there's a really long way to go and it's all dependent on personnel and keeping everyone fit, but that's a real kind of feeling of positivity within the squad.
No, it is. I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of talk about promotion last close season and pre-season and things like that. But, you know, also, I looked at it at our squad and realistically, I didn't think it was ready to challenge in the Championship, knowing, you know, I've obviously been around it a long time, the Championship, and know how tough and competitive it is. This season, I'm a lot more confident in the entire makeup of the squad, and you know, I think we've sort of progressed and strengthened as a football club on the whole.
Brighton come, they're a good team. Obviously Chris Hughton is a good manager, plays nice football, you know all about him and all about the way he sets up his teams. Tomorrow isn't going to be an easy game by any stretch of the imagination.
No, far from it. No, I mean, what you'd expect, it doesn't always pan out that way, but you'd expect an attractive game of football, because you know, Chrissy plays the game in a certain way, which is, you know, easy on the eye, as we like to try and do. So, you know, without, let's say, putting a kiss of death on it, you would think it'd be a good match tomorrow. They've got a lot of strengths, but you know, also we've looked at it and we think there's certainly areas that we can get at them and exploit them and use our own strengths to the full.
You touched on acquisitions. I know you're not going to tell me any kind of names or probably any positions, but you are confident that there will be business still done between now and not only the end of the window, but in the short term.
Yeah, we're talking to several clubs about players at the moment. But this stage of the season now where we are, it's seldom easy to do the deals, and they're quite protracted and quite hard work. And that's what they're proving to be. But
and with financial fair play, they're also challenging in terms of the finances that are.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's lots of things we need to take into account. But you know, all that said and done, I'm very confident. Alistair and Mike Rigg are working very hard, and we're all working together to try and get some more good players in to enhance what is already a good squad.
It is the first home game of the season. How important is it to get back to that difficult place to come and visit that Craven Cottage used to be, that hasn't been the same for a couple of seasons?
No, that's exactly what we want it to be like. You know, I remember obviously going back several years now to my time as a player here, and we just used to love playing at the Cottage, and you literally did feel unbeatable when you're walking out there. And I want that to be instilled into the players and the fans as well. I want our fans to be turning up for home games feeling that we're going to win, confident that we're going to put in a good performance and we're going to win the game. That's what I want everyone to be thinking, everyone to be feeling. But you know, we've got to be realistic about it. We've got to be good enough to do that. And I feel that we're getting there. We're getting better all the time. We've put in a couple of solid performances in our first two games. And we'll continue to get better because I'll continue working and the players will too. So we're getting there.
We wish you luck.
Thank you.
Okay, we are back, and that's an interview done earlier today with the full manager, Kit Simons, by Director of Communications, Sarah Brooks. Sarah does a wonderful job interviewing Kit. She's done, ever since I've been following full, done a great job interviewing all the managers, and she does a wonderful job interviewing Kit, asking him some very good questions. I think we got some good stuff out of it. And Mike, before we really get into the Kit interview, again, I want to touch on one thing first. Kit did mention this. Let's talk about the new deal for Ross McCormack. And Ross McCormack signed a one-year extension, which we'll see him at Fulham until the summer of through the summer of 2019. So he had this this clause in his contract for an additional year, and they activated it. So he now will be at Craven Cottage for an additional season. What are your thoughts about that? And also what Kit shared about his commitment to Fulham?
Well, you know, Kit and Ross's kind of, the two videos Fulham put up, Ross's contract extension video and this Kit's Brighton preview, they kind of go hand in hand with each other. And I don't think it was obviously meant to be that way. It's just, I think Ross and Kit both have the exact same mindset. We don't come to this club to stay in the Championship. No offense to the Championship or any teams that have been there for a long time. And for all we know, we could get stuck. But both of these gentlemen have this idea, and they came to this club wanting promotion. And that is the ultimate goal. And so when Kit's talking about, the promotion chances and what he wants to do and feeling much more confident with the squad that we have this year, I think he gets a little bit too much hate from some supporters now, some knee-jerk reactions, because has he been perfect? Absolutely not. But I think he is kind of, I still fully support Kit. And I still think he's a manager that will serve us well. And I think he's the kind of manager that finally has got some semblance of himself within this squad, his own ideas going through. And when he used to play, Craven Cottage was really Craven Fortress is exactly what it was. And he's just trying to bring that back. And in order to get promoted, that's what you need. You need to win your home game, go away and draw and win games. But the key is to be consistent at home. And that's what we haven't been for the past few years. That's one reason why we got relegated. That's one reason why we were close last year. And that's why we're still here. So I think that Ross McCormick is playing a huge part in Kit's promotion chances, in Kit's job security, and in Fulham's overall plans going into the future. And then with Ross's contract extension, when you hear him talk, it's actually very interesting because he's blatantly honest about it. He explains how, without saying his name, how McGath, his preseason was crap, how it kind of tore down the players and morale was low, how some of the players that were stuck, virtually stuck at Fulham, just didn't want to play. And so they brought down the morale in the changing room, and they kind of brought down the synchronization of the play, and how he's much more in tune with his team, that we have lads like Pringle, Kearney, and O'Hara that want to play, that play together, and they all have a unified goal, and they've all bought into this idea that Kit has put forward. So I think it's a very, very interesting way to kind of put it out there to say we are going to be challenging for promotion. That is our goal. Anything less than that is going to be a bad season. And I think that's exciting, and I think that's what we needed to hear. We didn't need to hear this kind of beating on the bush of, oh, we'll see where we are in a few games. No, they've said where they want to be. That's where we all want to be as supporters, and it's a very, very exciting time to be a Fulham supporter.
Listen, I completely agree, and I look at Ross McCormack's extension as a very good sign, and I'll explain why. Again, they had the option. They picked up the option. Both sides agreed to it, and that's a good thing. But it also shows his commitment to Fulham Football Club. He wants to be here longer. He enjoys being at Fulham. He's committed to Fulham. You need players that are committed to Fulham Football Club. There's no doubt. He's committed to Fulham. Again, I remember Andy Larnigan in an interview talking about him talking to Ross McCormack, and that sounded to me like one of the reasons why he came to Fulham was Ross McCormack's recommendation. So it sounds like he is committed to Fulham Football Club, which is a wonderful thing. He's also wants Fulham to get promoted. I think that's number one. You know, again, they don't come out and say it every single time, but there's no question that their goal is to get promoted as quickly as possible, Mike. And, you know, again, all these moves, I think, are done to position ourselves to get promoted this season. If it's not this season, hopefully shortly afterwards. But more importantly, it's also big picture thinking. They are preparing for not just for being promoted, but they're also thinking after that, which is very important because we want, once we go back up, we want another long run. We want to be in the Premier League for many seasons to come. And again, I think Ross McCormack's commitment for Fulham, I think, is important. And that's why, you know, we could say that it's only an option year that they picked up, not a big deal. I think it's a huge deal because I think it shows the commitment for the club from Ross McCormack and also for the club back to him. So again, I really think it's a great thing for everyone involved. And I'm glad that we could talk about his extension. It might only be an extra year, but I think it's a good situation for everyone involved. Well, Mike, listen, I actually have some good news. We have someone else on the line with us. I'm going to bring him on. Mr. Holly, are you with us? Can you hear us, David? Okay, I'm not hearing David. David Holly did dial in, and unfortunately, I'm not hearing him on the line. David, if you want, give us a call back, but he's not coming in. Mike, you still with me?
I sure am.
Okay. David did dial in, but for whatever reason, we couldn't hear him on the line. But David, if you're listening, please do try dialing back in. Definitely want to speak to our College Talk co-host who wanted to be with us. You know, again, he's still recovering from his surgery. And, I didn't want to say anything in advance that David was going to be joining us because I was hoping he would. And hopefully he will be dialing back in. Unfortunately, the connection didn't work this time, but hopefully, David, keep trying because I want to talk to you. Mike and I definitely want to talk to you. All right, Mike. While we wait for David to hopefully dial back in, let's now talk about Kit's interview today with Sarah. What did you get out of it besides the discussion about Ross McCormack?
I kind of just got out about how Kit's pretty excited about playing back at Craven Cottage. He's pretty reminiscent of his days when he used to play and when they used to walk out in the field when he was a part of his promotion team. That, like you said, we would feel invincible walking out there, like nobody could beat us home. And that's the kind of mindset that I think that we really need to have. And it's really great, I feel, that we have a manager that's been there and done that. He's walked through the same tunnel that these guys have walked through. He's played on the same pitch before. He's done what these guys are attempting to do. And I think that that's kind of a really great mindset and a kind of confidence booster that he's providing this team. And I fully expect the team to come out on Brighton. I think that he's going to be in there talking them up. I think players like O'Hara, Pringle, McCormack are going to be talking these guys up. And I think they're going to come fired up come Saturday. And I think, honestly, I think we're going to wipe the floor with Brighton. I don't think they stand a chance because I think the home match of the season with this kind of feel-good factor going around Craven Cottage, and I'll be completely honest with you, just being over here and reading the articles and watching the interviews and listening to Gentleman Jim and all this other stuff, I honestly feel that this team has the utmost potential to make it into the playoffs, and I think they have a great chance of promotion. I know that might sound a little bit outlandish, especially this early in the season and after the season we had, but I just feel a great vibe coming from this group of people that as long as they keep it up and Kit continues to do the right things with these vibes, I think that they will make it a fortress again, and I'm really, really excited for tomorrow, especially because I know that Kit has the right ideas, even though some people think that he does not.
Okay, very good take there, Mike. And what's interesting, listen, I'm excited about the upcoming season. I see the potential. I can see if they add a piece or two. We can definitely have that discussion of top six. I picked them as sixth, and I'm not backing down from that because I think that the potential's there. And the team unity is one of the reasons why I'm buying in. You heard Ross McCormack say that in his interview talking about the players that have joined and unfortunately the players that have left. And there's a different feel because the players who have come in wanted to come to Fulton. And that goes with the players that are already here that want to play for the club. You get a group of players, a unit that wants to play together, that wants to play for Fulham Football Club. Then you have something because you have to all be on the same page. And going into this match, I just have a feeling that these players are heading in that direction to be on the same page, to all fight for the cause. And that's what they need right now, the cause of getting Fulham promoted. That's the cause. That's fighting for the cause to get Fulham promoted. And we'll see if that happens. But I still think they need players coming in, Mike. But regardless, I like the look of this team because I think it's an actual team. Last season, I thought that they played like individuals. I've already seen glimpses that they're playing together as a unit. That's what they need. They need to play together as a team. And it's one of the things I said to Matt Smith last night. It was so disjointed last season. In the two matches that I've watched so far, the Capital One Cup match and, of course, the opening match, it's not disjointed. It's actually flowing. And that's the encouraging thing is that it is flowing and it is working as a unit. And this is just the beginning. It's only going to get better. That's what excites me about this upcoming season. But before we move on from the video, one thing I do want to mention, one of the things I got out of it, Mike, I don't know if you heard this, but Sarah did ask Kit a good amount about, he can't reveal targets or can't reveal positions. But Sarah did mention not only bringing in, players before the end of the window closes. She said short term. So it sounds like they're trying really hard to bring in players right now, Mike.
Yeah, and you know, if the transfer window ended right now with the team we have, I would be comfortable with it. I would. But if we can bring in one or two extra players that give us that depth, that give us that other option, that make the competition for places that much more difficult for these guys that we currently have, there's no bad or wrong that can come from that. So I honestly do have a feeling that before this transfer season is over, we will have a minimum of one, maybe two more people coming through. And I think it's honestly just a matter of behind the scenes politics and why they're not a full player just yet. I have a feeling that the price has already been negotiated. I have a feeling the contracts have already been drawn up, and they are just playing the waiting game for these guys to sign. And I'm not saying who that is or who I think it is, but I definitely feel, as of getting from what Kit was saying and the way he kind of reacted to the question, that he's also kind of growing impatient. Not that he doesn't think we're going to get the players, but that he wants to announce it. And the fact that he's not is, I have a feeling that we already have these things lined up, and it's just playing the waiting game to a designated date and time to announce it. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a very, very interesting next few weeks.
I totally agree. And, you know, again, I wouldn't be shocked that that something happens, you know, soon. Because, again, maybe it's wishful thinking on my part, Mike, but I was trying to read between the lines and watching the expressions. It sounds like they're working on something. They just haven't got it over the line yet. That's what I think is going on. And again, it takes two to make a deal. And that's, you know, and that's one of the things that's frustrating, especially this part of the season, because when it gets to the deadline, that's when things have to happen. Well, now, you know, again, they don't have that leverage of time. So that's why it's more difficult to get a deal done now. I get that. But it's also frustrating because I see the positions of need, and I think that they're working on them. That's just my gut feeling, and I just want it done now. That's just me. But if some deals get done before the end of the window, that's the ultimate. They do need reinforcements, and hopefully they will get these players in, whoever they are. We just don't know who. Whoever they are, I know they're trying, and I just want to see couple more reinforcements coming in. All right, Mike, let's go on to our preview of Brighton Hove Albion. And before we do, I just want to share this real quick, because again, I don't know if you checked on the Fulham website, but as always, they have some good articles, you know, basically getting you ready for the match. And I read this one from Behind Enemy Lines. It's with a presenter for BBC Sussex Sports. He's a commentator, Johnny Cantor, and you know, again, they asked him a few questions, and I'm just going to highlight one of them because it talks about key players. And they asked him, who do you think the key player is for Brighton Hove Albion? And the answer was, from this gentleman, Johnny Cantor, Israeli midfielder Bahram Kayal has emerged as a natural leader as well as a talented player. He could be key to Albion's ambition this season. He's a midfielder. And that's just a player to look out for. You know, obviously, names that fans know, Bobby Zamora, David Stockdale, obviously, center back Lewis Dunk is someone Fulham supporters are highly aware of. Mike, I want to ask you, you've taken a look at Brighton Hove Albion. Who stands out for you?
Actually, the very first person on my team sheet for them is Bahram Kayal. I've been a big fan of him since he played for Celtic. And I was actually really surprised when he left Celtic for Brighton. But obviously, he's done well there, well enough. He's commanded a starting position. And he's not a player that scores many goals. He played about 86 matches or so for Celtic, scoring only two goals. Last year, I think he played 11 or 12 games for Brighton and only scored one. So his goal ratio is not great. But what makes him stand out is his ability to create the chances for his team, the runs that he makes, the passes that he threads through. So he is definitely someone we need to keep our eyes out for. And he's actually quite quick as well. So I think Kayal is someone we need to look out for, as well as Luwa is a very talented footballer. Anytime he gets the ball, he scares me. So I would not be surprised if anyone was to score from Brighton tomorrow, it'd be Luwa. And obviously with David Stockdale being there, when Brighton came to Fulham last year, he played out of his mind. He had a great game, and I think he was the reason why we struggled so much against him in that match, because David Stockdale was playing against his old club, which brings into question the Bobby Zamora. Is he going to have one of those matches where he's a Brighton kid himself playing for his hometown, And now he's coming back to face Fulham, which was undoubtedly probably his most successful club he's ever been at. So it's going to be quite interesting to see who they put out, especially if we don't see Dunk. If we don't see Dunk in their starting back four, because I know he started against Nottingham Forest, and instead we see this new German fella, I would figure Dunk's already on his way out, and Brighton simply didn't want to sell him to us before they played us, so that way Dunk could not play against Brighton. So
very interesting.
Yeah, so if you see Dunk come out to the, on the pitch, I don't know if we're going to actually be getting Dunk, and Kit is referring to somebody else in his pre-match presser. But if Dunk isn't on the team sheet or he's just on the bench, then potentially he's just lined up waiting for us. And Brighton said, we're not going to sell you somebody that could come back to haunt us if we're playing you the second game of the season. So you're going to wait. And Fulham's agreed to wait. And that's kind of what Kit's alluring to. So we'll go ahead and see. But I fully expect Brighton to give us a difficult match. They're going to play with some wit, and they're going to play with some pace. But I definitely think we're going to beat them, regardless of how they started the season with their two wins in the league and the one in the cup.
Okay, very interesting take there, Mike. And you know what's also interesting about Brighton and Hove Albion into Kit and reading what Kit had to say about them is the style of Chris Hughton. We know Chris Hughton again from his stints at Newcastle, obviously at Norwich City. You know, again, they're going to be difficult to break down. There's no question about that. But what I found interesting is that Kit's expecting a pretty flowing match. He thinks, you know, again, this is from what I'm reading, what Kit's expecting them to play the ball from the back and move it up the pitch. So he thinks that this is going to be, you know, again, I'm paraphrasing, but it sounds like he's figuring this to be a pretty up and down match, which could be interesting for the supporters. You know, again, I hope it's an attractive match, but I just hope Fulham win. I you know, again, that to me is the number one. But that's again one of the things that Kit was mentioning. I believe in an article I read that he does expect them to play about them, but Fulham have that as well. So it could be pretty much back and forth. We'll have to see how this all plays out. And you know, and again, going back to our discussion about a player coming in, again, Kit doesn't come out and say a player is coming in. It's obvious that they're working on trying to bring players in. That's what you and I are talking about, Mike. It's obvious that they're working at it, and we're just hopeful. You know, we're hopeful that something's going to get done because I think we all know that they're not the fit yet. They need a few more players. All right, Mike. Let's move on. What do Fulham need to do to win this match?
Fulham need to play to the wings. We need to make sure that we spread out as we did before, not get stuck into the center of the park, into the more of a diamond. I don't want to say diamond because that's not how we play anymore, but that kind of central passing radius and just kind of short, small passes in the center. You get clogged up and all of a sudden you lose possession, but you have nowhere to go. We need to make sure that we use our width and we use some of our quicker players. I think that we really need to make sure that we take our chances when we get them, and we need to stop looking for that short, sweep pass in the box in order to get a tap in. I think we do that too often, and I think we need to start taking some shots from just outside the box or when we get a good look. Of course, the short, quick pass is good in the case of Pringle and Kakaniklić on a break, but there have been too many times where we keep trying to do these nice little one-touch passes inside the box, and then we kind of mess it up, someone misses a kick, or a defender comes in and steals it. So I think we need to be a lot more clinical in that final third. I think we're going to see plenty of action in the final third, and I think we're going to have plenty of opportunities to score. It's just making sure that we do that. And then on the backside, depending on who comes out for our center back pairing, I fully expect it to be Hutchinson and Byrne and Richards and probably Boser on the wings or the right and left back. We need to make sure, just as Matt said, that we watch those channels, because Byrne and Hutch aren't the quickest players. They've got some physicality to them, and they can win headers, and they can win the high balls, but they're not quick. So if someone like Luolawa gets in behind them, or someone like Zamora, for example, he's not that quick, but he's also physical, so he can probably fend off Byrne, or he can fend off Hutchinson. We need to make sure they get the full protection. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Jamie O'Hara playing more in his defensive midfield role, letting LBC move forward and kind of giving those back four guys that presence of someone else being there. So as long as we can be more clinical in the final third and take our chances when we get behind our defenders, I think we'll be just fine. Don't worry about and shutting down the opposition, getting their own.
Hey, Mike, you're breaking up a little bit. Why don't you try dialing back in? You are just breaking up just a little bit, of course, at the very end. But I'll just have you dial back in. Again, connectivity issues, nothing new to Cottage Talk, unfortunately, especially with this new service. And like I said, Mike, just dial back in, and I'll finish up the show with you. But again, he was talking about how to win this match. And it's funny because I was going to ask Mike, who is key player for the matches. And for me, it's going to be Jamie O'Hara. And I think Jamie O'Hara is going to be vital to something that Mike was already talking about, playing that defensive midfield role. But he can also spray the ball around. Getting the ball up the pitch, I think, is going to be vital as well. Mike, you back with me?
Yeah, I absolutely am. Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. We, you know, sometimes we have connectivity issues. Not a big deal. But I'm transitioning over to, yeah, I forgot to ask you about key players. And it's funny because the key player for me, you already mentioned him, is Jamie O'Hara. And it's funny because I don't know if you read this, but I read this and I had a little bit of chuckle, and I think Kit was just having a laugh. But he said that Jamie O'Hara's nickname is the Putney Pirlo. I don't know if you saw that.
I did, yeah.
Well, he's my key player for this match because, again, it goes to what you're talking about with the danger men that they have on the wings. I think, you know, again, he's going to be that defensive midfield help that they're probably going to need the back four. So he could be vital in this match. That's my key player. Who's yours?
Jamie O'Hara would also be my key player. In the past two matches, it's not a coincidence, or it's not for any reason short of his own talent and energy, that he's won man of the match. I know I voted for him twice. He's kind of that player that when he gets the ball, he's not flustered. He's calm, he's cool, and he can see the passes and see the plays or the runs before they even happen. And that's because he's got a great instinctive knowledge of the players around him, or at least he's gaining it now with some of these newer guys. And he's direct. He switches the play from side to side. He's not afraid to attempt a longer pass. And instead of just passing backwards to the side, he makes progressive, positive, forward movement, forward passes. And so I think Jamie O'Hara is going to be that key man who really dictates, well, as goes back and helps to make sure that Burn and Hull aren't over time in particular. So I think,
okay, very good.
Jamie O'Hara plays to the level we're going to be, and if he has a negative fashion. So Jamie O'Hara is definitely the one to watch out for.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let's now move on. I want you to predict the starting 11 for Kit Simons, not what you would do, what you think Kit's starting 11 is going to be.
I think Kit's going to do, I think he's going to do Andy Lonergan. He's going to stick with Andy. I think he's
All right. We lost Mike once again. We're just having some connectivity issues as he's going through the starting 11. While I wait for Mike to dial back in, I'll predict the starting 11. I'm going to agree with Mike. I'm going to say it's going to be Andy Lonergan. I'm going to say it's going to be Jazz Richards, Sean Hutchinson, Dan Byrne as your center back pairing, and it's going to be Kai Voser as your left back. I think it's going to be in the center. It's going to be Jamie O'Hara along with LVC. On the wings, I think it will be Tom Kearney on the right, Ben Pringle on the left. And up front, I'm going to go with I'm going to say it's going to be Matt Smith again along with Ross McCormack. I think that's going to be the full starting 11 that Kit's going to pick. I could be wrong, but that's what I think he's going to go with. All right. While we wait for Mike to call back in, I'm going to go through the predictions for the phone supporters. And that's how we're going to finish up this show. Let's see if I got Mike back. real quick. Mike, you back with me? Are you back with me, Mike? Okay, we're having some connectivity issues with Mike at the very end, unfortunately. And like I said, that happens. So Mike, just try dial back in one last time so we can go through the predictions with you. But I'll go with the predictions from the phone supporters. Again, this comes from the Cars Talk Facebook page. Let's start with James Dowden. He's predicting Fulham 2-1. Goals for Smith and Pringle. Roger Lewis says, I'm going for 2-0, which will mean we have at least two shots on target. This would be something new for us. Okay, Chris Baugh's going, I think that it's going to be pretty tight. We all know that they have a good defense, but if we get the first goal, then we'll have to push for the equalizer at some point. So I'm going 2-0 with a late goal on the break for LVC. Very interesting. Alex Lowy says, in a rare positive prediction, I'm saying 3-1 to Fulham. Steve Lydiard is also going 3-1 to Fulham. And Stephen O'Keefe is going to go 1-0 to Fulham with O'Hara getting the winning goal. Okay, very, very interesting predictions. Everyone's predicting a Fulham victory. And let's see if we got Mike one last time so we can do his predictions. Mike, you with me?
Yeah, can you hear me now, Russ?
I can hear you now. Okay.
Perfect. Sorry for any of these connectivity issues.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the connectivity issues. Let me just share my prediction for the starting 11, and then I'll see if you disagree at all on it. I have a starting 11. I went with Lonergan, like you mentioned, Vozer, Vozer, and I'll go back to that. Bernan Hutchinson and Jazz Richards as your right back. I had O'Hara and LVC in the middle. I have Kearney on the right. I have Pringle on the left. And up front, I had Matt Smith and Ross McCormack. Is that what you would have?
Yep, that's exactly what I had.
Okay, very good. And that's, you know, again, that's what I think he's going to go with. And listen, Mike, I was talking to Matt Smith, not the Matt Smith that plays for Fulham, about the plan B of Matt Smith, the player. And, you know, I'm struggling with this because I see the advantages that he could bring as a plan B. It sounds like you're kind of on the same wavelength with Matt Smith, our co-host, that you think he can start.
Yeah, I definitely do. I think people just don't see him as a starter because he seems like a brute. He seems like just we do long balls to get to headers. And you know, to some respect, we do that. I think that what he provides, presence, that drags the other team to know that cross coming in, he's the one we have to mark. Or any sort of long ball, he's already got that threat. He's taller and probably bigger than almost anyone around him. So they may even have to couple up two players to Matt Smith, which then leaves extra channels and more room for our players to run. And if everyone's consistently concentrated on Matt Smith, then they're forgetting about Ross, or they're forgetting about Kaká, or they're forgetting about Pringle. So I think that, you know, what Moussa Dembélé could provide with some pace and some creativity, Matt Smith can equally make the same effect, but just being more of an actual presence. So I think Matt Smith definitely deserves to start. I don't see anything that he's done wrong not to start. So I definitely agree that Matt Smith should be starting.
Okay. And, you know, in this match, you know, going against a center back like Dunk, you know, again, I'm assuming he's going to play. If he doesn't, like you mentioned, Mike, then maybe something's going on. But if he does play, I could see the value of having someone like Matt Smith. And before we move on for talking about Matt Smith, the co-host, actually said he doesn't see Matt Smith, the player, as someone that's going to play 90 minutes. Would you agree with that? Did I lose you again, Mike? I keep losing Mike. This is crazy. Boy, we're having some connectivity issues at the very end of the show. All right. Well, I guess I'm going to have to give my prediction for this match. And it's funny because I saw some of the predictions as 3-1. That's usually my favorite prediction to make. And I am going to go with 3-1. I have a good feeling about this match. I think Fulham are going to win. And I think they're going to win 3-1. And guess who I think is going to get a hat trick? Yes, I think Ross McCormack's going to have a huge game. And I'm going to predict that Ross McCormack will have a hat trick. And that's how, you know, That's how we're going to win this match. Looks like Mike is having some issues, and I have no idea what's going on with Mike's connection, but it's been wonderful having Mike do this show with me. I've enjoyed it, but I think it's time to wrap up this edition. I want to thank him for all that he's done for Cottage Talk for this episode and being a part of Cottage Talk, and I look forward to speaking with him soon. Well, that's it for this. Oh, I'm sorry. Mike has predictions, so I want to share that. He's actually texted me his prediction, so I can at least get that in. Mike predicted, he's predicting 3-0 to Fulham, McCormack with 2, Pringle with 1. I like that prediction, Mike. That's a very good prediction. Let's see if we have Mike for one last try. Mike, I got your prediction in. Are you with me?
All right. Yeah, I'm right here. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right, my friend. Listen, I want to thank you for doing this. You know, again, for whatever reason, we struggled with connectivity issues at the end. For about 45 minutes, we had no problems. And all of a sudden, at the very end, we had some issues. But thank you. Thank you for doing this with me tonight, my friend.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was a blast. I really look forward to the match tomorrow. And hopefully we can keep this positive spell going and just keep it up throughout the entirety of the season.
I agree with you, my friend. I got a funny feeling this is going to be a special season. I really do. And I look forward to the next time I can talk to you, Mike. Thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. No problem.
All right. All right. Well, that's going to be it for this episode of the Cottage Talk. For Mike O'Connor, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, Mike.
Cheers.